Our first reading is from Luke 1. In a time of fear and uncertainty, an angel comes to Zechariah with surprising news. God is still listening, and hope is already on the way. Our second reading is from Lamentations. From the deepest pit, the writer cries out and discovers that God is nearer than we imagine, whispering, "Do not be afraid." In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was descended from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. But they had no children, and both were getting on in years. Once, when he was serving as priest before God during his section's turn of duty, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord to offer incense. Now, at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. Then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you will name him John." I call on your name, O Lord, from the depths of the pit. You heard my plea. Do not close your ear to my cry for help, but give me relief. You came near when I called on you. You said, "Do not fear." The Witness of Modern Wisdom is from In the Time of Herod by Reverend Sarah A. Speed. I didn't live during Herod's time, that brutal, murderous king, God save his soul. But even hundreds of years later, I know the prayers of his people. I know the prayers of the mothers and the children under his rule. I know the prayers of the young men under his angry arm. I know their prayers. Because anyone who has ever lived in this soft world for more than 2 days knows how to pray for a miracle. We rub our hands together. We fold weary shoulders in, a cage of bone to protect our bleeding hearts. We sing, "We shall overcome, and bind my wandering heart to thee." We walk across bridges and in front of powerful buildings. We cover our cars in stickers that scream, "We will not give up." We allow a hungry cry to slip from our lips, giving our lament a life of its own, with room to dance. And when all of that is said and done, we whisper to our Creator, "God, break through the yelling and the fear. Break through the violence and the oppression. Get past the Herods of this world and come be here. Like every bleeding heart before, we pray for a miracle." God is still speaking, and we are still listening.
Thank you, Perry. Will you pray with me once more? With us, God, in the time of Moses, you spoke through water in the desert and a pillar of smoke. In the time of the judges, you spoke through the prophets. In the time of Herod, you spoke through angel choruses and unlikely miracles. In every time, you have been speaking. So today, in our time, we ask that you would speak again. Break through the chatter and the distraction of our weary minds and speak to us once more. With hope, we pray. Amen. Well, I know that the Christmas season is really here when I find myself 20 feet in the air on my aluminum ladder, trying once again to hang Christmas lights from the roof. Now, since I was a kid, I've had what I like to call a healthy respect for heights. But every year, as I'm up there with cold fingers and tangled lights, that same thought flashes through my mind. I could fall. I could get really hurt doing this. Fear, it turns out, is not an exotic feeling. It is completely ordinary. It is part of being human. And some of our fears are almost silly. Fear of saying the wrong thing at the work Christmas party, or fear that your gift will be a disappointment. Other fears cut a little deeper. Fear of losing your job or your home. Fear of losing your health, your memory, your independence. Fear of finding yourself of no real use anymore. Fear that this Christmas might be the last for you or for someone you love. There are many fears that are all too real. I think about many in our Latino community right now who are afraid of being racially profiled, afraid of immigration showing up on their way to the work or to the grocery store, even outside their church. Fear that a parent won't come home tonight. Fear is real. And fear is natural and a normal human response to danger. I mean, you've probably heard of fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. Our bodies are wired to keep us alive. This is our survival instinct. But over time, fear can move from being a passing reaction to becoming a way of life. And when that happens, when our fear takes up permanent residence in our bodies, our thoughts, our relationships, even our churches, which is why it matters that the Gospel of Luke begins the story of Jesus in this way, in the days of King Herod. That little phrase is more than a timestamp. It is saying that this is a time when fear was in the air. Herod the Great ruled Judea from 37 to 4 BCE, before the Common Era. And he was a client king of Rome. He maintained his power with violence and informants and intimidation. This is the same Herod who, in Matthew's gospel, when he couldn't locate the one born king of the Jews, when he couldn't get the Magi to tell him where he was, he ordered the killing of innocent children, forcing the Holy Family to flee to Egypt as refugees, or so the story goes. In the time of Herod means this was a time of occupation, of economic hardship, and deep uncertainty. In the days of King Herod is Luke's way of saying Jesus was born into a world where fear made sense. And into that fearful world, Luke introduces not a king, but introduces this aging couple, the priest Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. They're described as righteous before God, but they also carry this deep ache. They have no children. And in that culture, in that place and time, that was not just a private grief. It was often seen as a sign that God was displeased with them. But Luke is careful to tell us that's not the case here. Their, quote, barrenness is not a judgment or a punishment. It's simply part of their story, part of the heavy weight that they carry into their later years. Some of us know that kind of weight. Prayers prayed for so long that we stop expecting an answer. Hopes that feel too foolish to speak out loud. On one ordinary day, Zechariah is chosen to offer incense in the temple. And the smoke rises like the prayers of the people, and suddenly an angel, a messenger of the Lord, appears. And what happens? Zechariah doesn't break into a praise chorus. He does not say, "Finally, I've been expecting you." Luke tells us he was terrified. Terrified to the point of feeling overwhelmed. And it's not just a jump scare, it's a deep shaking, the kind of trembling that comes when life is out of control. That diagnosis that you didn't expect. The layoff that you didn't see coming. The phone call in the middle of the night. It leaves him rattled and shook. And the first words out of the angel's mouth, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard." Those words do not deny the reality of fear. The angel doesn't say, there's nothing to be afraid of. The angel says, "Do not be afraid, for your prayer has been heard." Your fear is real, but it is not the only truth. God has not forgotten you. God has been listening all the while in the silence and the waiting. Even when you felt forgotten, God was still there. This is where the text from Lamentations comes alongside Luke. In that text, we hear the voice of someone who feels like they are at the very bottom. "I called on your name, O Lord. From the depths of the pit, you heard my plea. You came near when I called on you. You said, 'Do not fear.'" Do you hear the echo in the depths of the pit? "Do not fear." In the smoke-filled temple, "Do not be afraid. Your prayer has been heard." I think one of the reasons I like the season of Advent so much, and why I wish more of us kept it better before skipping on to Christmas, is that Advent is for people who live in the days of King Herod. Advent is for the people who know what it feels like to be in the pit. It is not a season for people who have it all together. Advent is for the fearful and for the weary, the ones who are not sure how much longer they can hold on. We sing that line every Christmas, "The hopes and fears of all the years." Well, some of our fears this year are the fears of a typical congregation, the fears about numbers and energy and finances, fears that our best days as a church or individuals might be behind us. Well, those fears are real and natural and normal. Some of our fears are born in a way that few of us can understand, except our immigrant neighbors and siblings, parents afraid to drive to work, afraid to take their kids to school, grandparents afraid of that knock on the door, teenagers wondering if they dare apply for college or even show up for youth group because they don't know who's watching. If Advent means anything, it has to mean something in the real world where those very real fears exist. So what does it mean to insist on hope in a time like this? I think it begins with telling the truth about our fear in the presence of God. Zechariah's fear shows up right in the middle of his worship. The voice in Lamentations calls to God from the depths of the pit. Which is to say, Advent is not about pretending to be cheerful. It's about bringing our honest fear and grief and confusion into the light of God's presence. God can work with reality. God can work with where we actually are and what we are actually feeling. And insisting on hope also means listening for that small, stubborn word of grace. "Your prayer has been heard. You came near when I called. You said, 'Do not fear.'" Now, that situation may not change overnight. Herod is still on the throne at the end of Luke chapter 1. Empires do not fall by the end of chapter 2. But in the middle of it, God is at work in the love between two people who might have given up, in the courage of a teenage girl named Mary, in the birth of a child who will prepare the way. Hope is not optimism. Hope is the quiet, persistent trust that God is moving, even when we cannot see how. And insisting on hope means acting as if God's "do not be afraid" is already true. It means refusing to let fear have the final say in how we live together. For a congregation like ours, that might look like choosing curiosity over nostalgia, asking, how is God inviting us to be faithful now, in this time, in this place? It might mean trying something new in worship. It might mean mentoring younger leaders or blessing ministries that don't look exactly like they did 30 years ago. For our community and our immigrant neighbors, it could look like solidarity, like accompanying someone to their appointment, learning more about what is happening in our own city, or speaking up when policies harm families, making this congregation a place where no one has to sit alone in their fear. Every Sunday in Advent, we light candles, small, fragile flames to light our way through the night. We don't do that because the darkness is imaginary. We do it because the darkness is real, but it is not ultimate. Each candle whispers, in the time of King Herod, in the time of ICE raids, in the time of aging bodies and anxious hearts, God is still coming into the world, still listening, still speaking, still at work. God is still with us. Now, I still don't love being on the top of that ladder. My hands shake a little every year. But every year I find myself climbing anyway, because I know that when the lights finally switch on and the house glows in the dark, it reminds me that fear does not get the last word. The story is much bigger than the ladder. This Advent, as we name our fears and our longings, may we hear again the word of Zechariah and the poet of Lamentations. Do not be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. When you called, I came near. Do not fear. Thanks be to God. Amen. As you're ready, I invite us to again stand in body or spirit and join in our responsive song, O Come, Take Heart.